The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you,
O Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So first century Palestine has all kinds of these rules about honor and shame. Those systems were in place, and classes of people really, really mattered. It's one of the reasons Jesus got in so much trouble. He would eat with the poor, he would touch people who were sick, and things that weren't appropriate according to what it was expected, what the standards were, and what classes were in place. So stations in life, they just really, really mattered. So when Jesus enters homes to eat, there are opportunities for him to do some teaching about this kingdom of God that he keeps introducing to them. This kingdom where everyone belongs and no one is better than the other, where everyone works for the good of the other, and he spells out these things pretty specifically. These places of honor and where you should sit. It says he tells us a parable, but he's kind of not telling a parable. He's sort of in the parable, saying, well, when you throw a party, but he's at a party. So he says, don't think too much of yourself. He says, if you're in the place of honor and someone's going to tell you that you need to move, then you shouldn't have put yourself in that place in the first place. And he says, don't think too much of yourself. It's going to get you in trouble. Now, it would be great if we could look at first century Palestine as ancient history, and it's just something for us to recognize that used to be in place. You know, people used to have these systems where some people mattered more than other people. And that was just foreign and forgotten to us, really, that we were living out this kingdom that Jesus has been introducing, and this system of honor and shame is just not something we understand. But, we do, and we come here every week to confess that while Christ has freed us from sin, we like to hang on to some parts of it, the parts that make us feel better. We know that we are aware of some of the things that we do regarding honor and shame and sin. And we know that they are, and we confess them. We also know that there are some things we don't know and we can't quite know. That we hang on to some parts of these systems of class and labels and status and categories for people and boxes. And some of it is so deeply ingrained in us that we are unable to recognize it as sin. I spoke recently to a lifelong Lutheran friend of mine who is attending a Lutheran church, but is attending, they are attending to the idea of making it more seeker-friendly, making it more accessible, making the liturgy kind of maybe easier to access. People who didn't grow up Lutheran maybe need a different kind of thing to walk into on a Sunday morning. And one of the things that they changed is they took out the confession and forgiveness. And my friend mentioned it to me because it was something she lamented. While she liked other parts of the service, she missed having confession and forgiveness every week. And so we talked about the wisdom of the church holding fast to this pattern of worship for a really long time, beginning with confession and forgiveness, and then moving to praise and hearing the word and sharing a meal that begins with an opportunity to share our stuff, our money. After the meal, there's a sending out into the world that what we've been doing here is practice for that which is out in the world. So Christ's church has held on to this pattern for a very long time. And it shifts a bit, and you'll notice this, especially if you came to Emmanuel from another church, you will notice slight things that we do differently. Or if you go on vacation somewhere and you worship somewhere else, we like our patterns so much. We're so familiar with the patterns of this particular congregation or that we really notice when, say, they take offering before they pass the peace or something. Or maybe confession and forgiveness sometimes comes right before the meal. That I've seen that done before. There are different ways to do worship, and God is surely worshiped in any place and in any pattern that people intend to worship God. But this pattern where the very first thing that we do is confess that we have forgotten. We've just forgotten to live as though every life matters the same as the next, and that the systems of class and status and honor and shame and wealth, they work to divide us. This little lesson from Jesus about honor and shame and where to sit at a dinner party, it is not an ancient lesson for us to just look at and say, well, we don't need to learn that. It is for us today and next week and next week and next week, because we confess that we are captive to sin and we cannot free ourselves, and we have sinned against God in every way possible, with our thoughts, with our words, with our deeds, in ways that we know, in ways that we don't know. So this scene that Jesus sets with his words, this description of a dinner party, it's kind of hard to swallow for me, because Jesus says, when you're at a dinner party, be sure to play by the rules of the honor and shame game. Doesn't that sound weird coming from Jesus? Wouldn't you more expect him perhaps to say, don't play that ridiculous game? Who gets to sit at the head of the table? Don't we just maybe expect him to say, stand up for people who have less honor than you in this society? Give them your seat. Tell your host, I'm sitting down here. Give that seat to somebody else. Well, maybe Jesus is just teaching to the room. He's already at a dinner party where he has been invited, where he knows people are watching him, where the honor and status game is already in play. So he says, at a party like this, be humble. But then Jesus says to the host, who is currently throwing a party exactly like this, who at which he has invited his friends and his brothers and his relatives and his rich neighbors, and this Jesus guy everybody's talking about, he says to the host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends and your brothers and your relatives and your rich neighbors. They might pay you back. But when you give a banquet, you know, when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So he says, when you're at a dinner like this, where everybody is pretty much the same class, status, you know, everybody's welcome here. Friends, brothers, relatives, rich neighbors. When you're at a party like this, play along and be humble. And then he says, but really, don't throw a party like this. Invite the poor and the handicapped, those who have no social standing. And here's one of those lines that we need to stare at for a while and reread and chew on and live in, because he says, don't throw a party like this. Invite those with no social standing. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you. This precedent system where you invite me to a fancy party and then I put you and I invite you and we put each other in these places of honor at each other's tables, that is not a blessing. That is a game. It's rooted in honor and shame, and if we're honest, more shame than honor. Dinner parties where no one feels better than the next, maybe where the tables are round so there is no head of the table, where no one sits at the head of the table and everyone can see everyone, and the conversation flows easily across the table and the food is in the middle. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like a potluck. Or you call it a covered dish here, right? That's what the kingdom of God is like. And it's a blessing because it is not a game. It's a blessing because it's sacrificial. It's a blessing because it's true community. It's a blessing because it's fellowship for fellowship's sake. And if you need more incentive, Jesus says, if there's part of you that thinks that what kind of dinner party, having a dinner party with nobodies, how does that work in the kingdom? Is it enough? If you need more of a reason than just being blessed by being in the fellowship of other people, then here it is. Your payment comes at the resurrection of the righteous. You sitting here today, your payment does indeed come at the resurrection of the righteous. And that payment will be yours, even though you need to confess every single week that you have forgotten to invite those with no social standing into your life, that you sin in ways that you don't even recognize, and that your righteousness is always out of reach. Because you don't have to be righteous enough to be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You can't be righteous enough to be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. But Christ is righteousness, and you have been joined to Christ in the waters of baptism. So the resurrection of the righteousness of the righteous, it already has been promised to you. It's already yours. That promise of righteousness before God, it's what frees you up to go and be risky and love and welcome. Just be radical in your life of inclusion. You might end up loving someone that doesn't love you back, and you might end up sharing with someone who will not or cannot share with you. Our being joined to the righteousness of Christ is what makes us bold. It's what makes us free to just go find the blessing in the living out of our lives in the community of other people without measuring and wondering about honor and shame. fellowship for the sake of fellowship with no other motive. Fellowship for the sake of fellowship and sharing one another's burdens. Fellowship for the sake of knowing the truth about another person and loving them. Living sacrificially, sharing each other's burdens. All of it we're free to do because we do not have to win the shame and honor game. We have been joined to Christ's righteousness. And thanks be to God for that.